She was the one who came and tried to get me to register to vote.
The unforgettable voice of Marita Golden, and this is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. The series is produced by Forest Woods Media Productions, post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making the program possible. Funding is provided by the Sinipid Fund, Natalie Canavor, and Sandy Jackson Cohen. I am Grace Cavalieri, and our engineer is Mike Turpin.
Medea Benjamin, I hope you listen to Community Radio KBOO 90.7.
Calling all denizens of Earth, tune in to KBOO on Saturday, April 22nd from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. for KBOO's Earth Day Takeover. It's a whole day of radio programming devoted to climate action and environmental justice. Join us and prepare for nature sounds, music, and activist interviews focused on our shared climate future. That's KBOO's Earth Day Takeover on Saturday, April 22nd from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. and online at kboo.fm/earthday.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Have him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name is Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Sarah Krajewski. She's the iCults Senior Curator of Modern and Contemporary Art at the Portland Art Museum. Sarah's here talking about Hito Styral, This is the Future, which runs now through June the 18th of this year. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus by Zoom, Sarah.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'm happy to talk about this exciting exhibition with you today, Joseph.
So this is in that space where all the kind of big exhibitions are on the second floor, but it's really black. Everything is black. The floor is this shiny black. The walls are black. So you go in and there's this dazzling video, 15-minute video. You can sit on a bench, and it's sort of AI generated. There's a lot to say about that, but all the images sort of move around and bleed, and nothing is stable. So we sit down and watch this video, and there are several chapters to it too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of surreal, and there's no real explanation, but there is a voiceover and a English subtitles.
Yes.
Just tell us what is the future?
Yeah, sure. So the first thing that visitors will encounter is this, as you described it, it's a very altered space. It's darkened with a reflective floor, and you enter into, we're calling it the cinema room, and it's a place where you can have a seat and watch this 15-minute narrative video called This is the Future. And there are two narrators in this film. We meet the voice of the neural network, so the AI network, and we also meet Hedja. And the film, it follows two different tracks. It follows Hedja's story, and she is a woman who is imprisoned, and she grows plants in her prison cell, but she needs to hide them in the future from the prison guards who come and destroy this semblance of nature within her in her cell in the jail. And she hides them in the future with the help of the neural network, which is an artificial intelligence. And I think in the film, you get a little bit of a sense that Hedja may have created the network in order to place the plants into the future. But the network is there to describe its function. It predicts the future, and it's been developed to kind of generate these visions of the future by looking at the past. And it touches on, I think, a very interesting element of our human experience is that we have long desired to know what the future will bring. And there's a chapter of the film called The History of the Future, where the neural network goes into a kind of description of all of the questions that we seem to have asked of the universe, I suppose, are now the artificial intelligence about what is to come. There's a really interesting moment. So you describe the visuals in the film, which this piece was made in 2018 and 2019. So it was made using some neural network algorithms, but it's like ancient technology compared to what we have now today, what we recognize as neural networks like ChatGPT and others. So Hito and her team used a technology called Next Frame, which would predict the next frame of the film. So you see, essentially what you're seeing is some distorted imagery based on thousands and thousands of other images that they input into the network so that it would learn the, you know, there's imagery of water, of these plants, of cityscapes and things. So, but it's not very crisp versions of it. It's very distorted and I wouldn't say quite glitchy, but it does have that sort of like liquidy kind of surreal vibe to it. There is one really important moment in the film, however, where we see reality. So mostly we're seeing this kind of vision of the computer with these kind of liquidy, dazzling images. But we do see one moment of reality, which is a fascist neo-Nazi rally that kind of, you know, really abruptly kind of inserts itself into the film, and its role, I think, is to suggest to viewers that reality can be quite unpredictable. So, what is the true role of artificial intelligence? Will human experience and our is it too unpredictable in this world of ours to be accurately predicted? So I've talked quite a bit about what you might experience when you come and, you know, see this video, but it doesn't, I think it's, you know, I've been very happy to see many visitors sitting through the film because it's very, it's done in a way that is very familiar to us. There's a kind of electronic music soundtrack. There's sort of like, it's very quick moving. There are these short chapters where the narrative is revealed. It's very captivating. There's also quite a bit of humor in it too. And I like to encourage folks to spend, if they have the time, to sit through the film a couple of times because on first pass, it might seem rather dry or kind of glib. But then when you sit through it, you really do see a kind of sense of humor that the artist is inserting into this, you know, I think very serious topic of where we're going with in our world of reliance on technology and ever more this artificial intelligence kind of evolution and movement.
Mm-hmm. So there's an interview with her in ArtNet where she talks, Hito Steirel talks about all the different kinds of AI that are out there now, you know, in 2023. And she's saying like, DALL-E is like so hackneyed now, everyone's done it, it's a style, avoid it. And then the one she was using in 2018 is just, like you said, kind of ancient. So she has an awful lot of kind of meta commentary about AI. It's like, she's not just using it as a tool, she's talking about the evolution of it, who controls these, you know, server farms, you know, Microsoft and their Azure and Google, is that there's some kind of narrative that we're not aware of. They're trying to use us to use their tools. It's kind of conspiratorial. It's a very big picture and very interesting. You know, as an artist has gone very deep into this. You know, I don't get any of that from watching the film. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get like German techno, blurry forests, boats going through Venice. Do you get any kind of cohesive sense from the 15-minute unit?
Yeah, so I think it's important to recognize that Hito's position is very critical of our reliance on technology and our ability to just, you know, be sort of dazzled by these current manifestations like DALL-E or ChatGPT, and what those really are doing are being distractions for what is actually going on behind, you know, it's invisible to us. We don't see all the data mining and, you know, the invasions of our privacy that are going on and, you know, just second by second at the hands of these at the hands of the corporations who are controlling these technologies. So I think on close watch of the film, so also I do want to say this is, you know, it's the evolution of these technologies is happening so quickly. So, you know, she made this piece several years ago. And to me, you know, knowing that background and her interest in, you know, critiquing these larger structures of capitalism and just the corporate, just corporate data mining and those corporations activities, that certainly adds one level. But I think when you are watching the film, the narrative around Hedges, I think a very interesting and important one to spend a little bit more time on, because Hedja is a real person. She is a Kurdish artist who now lives in Berlin, but her story is the source of the human narrative within the film. And she was imprisoned in Turkey, a political prisoner there. So in the film, we learn that the AI has predicted that Hedja will commit a crime. So it's like these sort of dystopian ideas of who, you know, how corporations or governments will come to control us through technologies like facial recognition or others that are powered by artificial intelligence. So that is an important part of the film to kind of see that narrative develop through it. But I also think there's one, like, what the plants do, the plants that Hedja grows in her cell and then hides them in the future, I think that opens up a whole other narrative and a whole other consideration around this piece. And that is, how do we retain our humanity at this time when technology is so in control of our lives, and how, you know, the police state and other forces are oppressing us. And she attempts to do that by growing these plants in her cell, and you know, but they must be destroyed. They can't, you know, she's dehumanized in this situation. So by manipulating the technology itself, you know, this is of course fictitiously, but the story is that she hides them in the future where they can start to evolve on their own through the power of the network. And the other element of the exhibition are video sculptures that reflect these, what she calls power plants, that have, you know, evolved through their presence within the neural network to take on healing properties. And they have a sense of agency and a sort of, I think it's an interesting decision that she's made to focus on a garden and on plants and on nature as the kind of it's binary. It's the opposite of this technology that's being utilized. But she brings them together to, I think, suggest a different way of manipulating and using and maybe some sort of grassroots application for some of these technologies that might give us some unexpected results, like plants that can cure your social media addiction or is mm-hmm. the conceits. So so I've been thinking a lot about this
yeah.
in terms of like this commentary on nature, on climate change, and how technology it plays a role in that as well.
Yeah, and we can talk about this in the second half of the show, that the video screen becomes transparent at the end, and then you see through into the other half of the gallery, mm-hmm. and there are these scaffoldings, steel scaffolds set in gravel, and each one has multiple very bright LED screens. I think it's the kind that's used in shop signage.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind mm-hmm. of it's kind of dot matrixy in a way, but bright colors, and they have these flowers on them. You know, they look kind of like orchids and things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then these written slogans scroll on these other screens, saying things like, "Whoever has a sick brain from social media addiction," and then, you know, "This plant will cure that." That kind of thing.
Yeah. So the film does end with Hedja making a prediction. And Hedja predicts that none of this will happen, what you've just seen in the film itself. So you kind of come full circle. And she says that this won't happen because the future is right here, right now, in a sense, like the future begins with us and we take on our agency. Whatever we decide to do in the next moment is the future. And with that kind of revelation that, you know, her garden doesn't exist in the future, it's in the here and now. And with that prompt, the screen, which has been opaque and it's rear projected video onto the screen, then becomes transparent. And you look into the next room, which is filled with these video sculptures, as you've described, that are Hedja's garden. They are the power plants. And then you can exit around and interact, you know, visit and view the sculptures in the next space.
Mm-hmm. My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Sarah Krajewski. She's the iCult Senior Curator of Modern and Contemporary Art at the Portland Art Museum. She's talking about Hetostyral, This is the Future, which runs now through June the 18th at the Portland Art Museum. I have to say I'm more captivated by the surface of this work than the meaning, because the meaning is just beyond me, but the surface is so beautiful. I mean, this screen, and how can you have a screen that looks like a movie screen and then goes transparent, but you can still see things projected on it? What is that made of?
I love that moment of the reveal from the film. And, you know, I think the narrative plays out in such a beautiful way where we're hearing about Hedja's predicament and how the network is trying to control her future. And then when she does say that the future is here and now, and my garden is here with us, that screen switches. It's what's called a smart screen. And it's an application that you can use on Windows. And it's really simply a technology, a very simple one, where there's a slight charge that's sent through this vinyl material. It's like a liquid crystal interaction, and it switches this smart screen material from the opaque to the transparent. So it's something you can use in architecture, or you can use it to, you know, create a private space that then you can allow light to come in through the windows. And she developed this alongside the piece back in 2019. So we were able to recreate that screen here. But I hope that folks will kind of be intrigued by this particular moment in the experience to come down and check it out.
Mm-hmm. And then when you walk around into this other room, the floor has this shiny black mm-hmm. stuff on it. It's like resin. You know, I remember, you know, where Nike lands its private jets?
Oh.
The hangar where these athletes come out when they're wooing them has this white, shiny floor. It's like really bizarre. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like you're in a TV studio and it's perfectly level resin. Anyway, I got that feeling in there. But then you have these little planters almost full of gravel. And what was the direction there?
The floor, which is a black, very highly reflective vinyl, was the specification of the artist to create this kind of altered space by having this highly reflective floor. So when even when you're in the cinema room watching the film, you see it reflected in the floor, and it becomes a very kind of physically immersive and visually immersive experience. So when you pass into the space with the power plant sculptures, it continues that experience of kind of doubling and, you know, the multiple ways that the light is playing in the space off of these really vibrant video sculptures. As you describe them, they're on metal scaffolding with these LED screens tiled together. It is that kind of commercial LED screen, but really bright, beautiful imagery of these evolving plants. Some folks, I'll admit, I hadn't really put this together previously, but the soundtrack is really kind of like electronic, very dance music inflected soundtrack that you hear behind the narrators of the film. They were equating it to an experience of being in a club and that kind of sense of you're out of time in a way. There's no sense. It's dark and it's like the music is pulsing and the lights are vibrant and flashing, and it just gives you this kind of an uplifting feeling being in the space. Mm-hmm. In an interesting way, the floor is and really commented on quite a bit, and it adds so much to the experience of the altered space and maybe altered kind of feeling when you're in there. And then the sculptures themselves, these metal scaffolds with the screens, are set into what I'm kind of thinking of as like a little planter box, but it's filled with gravel. For the artist, she makes a point in some of the scrolling texts that you'll see alongside the imagery that these are ruderal plants that will grow despite a depleted landscape, or kind of, you know, I think of like weeds that will come up through concrete and push through, and they still find a way to survive. So the gravel suggests this kind of depleted landscape that, you know, may be connected to, you know, our future environment as we pass through climate crisis. But these plants too are also their future versions of existing plants. So as you read the reader board screens, they list the plant, but always with the added on word of futuris, so the future version of this plant. Mm-hmm. And then the reader boards then go on to describe their future abilities. I like how the artist indicates for her that this is a more optimistic version of what the future might bring us than what we can really kind of think of today, that the plants kind of take on a sense of greater agency. And of course, humans have used plants to heal ourselves and to help us achieve heightened states and altered states. But here she's suggesting that they can kind of evolve alongside with us to continue to heal us.
In the beginning of the video, the woman in prison says, "We chewed up paper." I think there were letters or something, mm-hmm. and put seeds on them to germinate. Is the idea that these plants on the screens at the end, are they the plants that she tried to grow in the future?
Yes. So at that moment where she's capturing the seeds and putting them on the plants, those are the seeds, those are the germinations that she hides in the future, if you will. And then they evolve into these power plants. And there's a small chapter in the film itself where you see the plants are featured of Hedge's garden. And that sets the stage for what you see in the next space with the video sculptures.
Mm-hmm. And that frame prediction stuff, there's a scene going through a forest and it says at the bottom, "Forests are good because you can, it's easy to predict what's next, right? Because they all, it's just a bunch of trees and verticals." But then there's another scene with a woman dancing and she's very fuzzy and mm-hmm. her limbs kind of take off on their own, mm-hmm. break off and curl around and stretch. Mm-hmm. Is that the same kind of frame prediction?
So that's actually Hedja, and they filmed her dancing and tried to get the neural network to learn and predict what the next move would be. But at that time, dancing was just too unpredictable for the network to figure it out. So what it did was just exactly what you're seeing is that, you know, her body becomes very elastic and, you know, arms sort of like peel off in these wonderful curvilinear forms. And I think that that's actually one of the parts of the film that I find the funniest and maybe the like most grounding is that the network predicts accurately that 100% humans, 100% of humans entering the future will die. It's the one prediction that the network can accurately.
Eddie took a ChatGPT, which predicts basically is searching and it will write articles is how dumb it is and how it doesn't have a human voice, it makes mistakes, it sounds corny. The same with Dali, you know, it's a look. On the MoMA website for New York's MoMA, there's a Refik Anadol video about his work unsupervised where he took all the images from the museum and kind of churned them through AI. And they come out as like these giant sort of screensavers. You know, the kind of message is this stuff isn't very human or very good. We're still a few steps ahead of it. Do you find that irrelevant now in her work?
I think what Hito's done, and again, just our timing for this exhibition is really interesting because the splash of ChatGPT and other things coming out and very much in our present, you know, state of mind. I think for her, this has just been a tool in which she is used. Like, it's not the end of what she's exploring. I mean, there's so much more within this work about social controls and the development of fascism and, you know, wrongful imprisonment and climate change and evolution of our species and the world around us at this moment. And she's just been able to use this tool to, in a, I think, a critical way to point out its fallibilities. And again, this was several years ago. That in the scene that you described with the forest being suggested as a kind of easy exercise for the network to predict, there's also a line in that where science, in this space, science becomes alchemy. And I think that's a really important moment, and it just goes by in a split second. How AI is now evolving is often not even understood by the computer scientists who are working on it. So there is this sense of we as humans, and especially as a lay person, as a curator at an art museum, like I don't understand all the ins and outs, but the technology itself is starting to evolve itself in ways that are very rapid. And so I think rather than become kind of entranced by kind of the magic of this material, I would hope that a piece like this would have us sort of pause and say, yes, we can't put our faith into this, or we can't be distracted by this. We have to try to understand it. And if there's any chance of us to bend it to ways that might better us rather than ways that might have a negative impact on us as human beings, then we should try to do that. I think that's, for me, in reflecting on this work and on Hito's work in general, an important takeaway.
Well, we're lucky in Portland that you got this. This is the premiere, right, in the US?
Yeah, this work has been shown in Europe and in Asia, but this is its first opportunity to be seen in the US. So we're really excited about it. And we've had such positive response. She's not an artist who has had an exhibition in the Northwest previously. So it's a really great opportunity for our audiences to see one of the most critical voices in this digital and new media art space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well done. I'm really glad it's here.
Thank you.
My name's Joseph Galliman. You've been listening to Our Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Sarah Kujewski. She is the Robert and Mercedes Eichholz Senior Curator of Modern and Contemporary Art at the Portland Art Museum. She was talking about Hito Styral, This is the Future, which is on now through June the 18th. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus again, Sarah, by Zoom.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to speak with you. And I hope many visitors or listeners to your show will come and check out this piece. Thank you.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Have him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
KBOO Portland en el 90.7 FM y a través de la internet en kboo.fm.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy martes 18 de abril del 2023. Millones de estadounidenses se reunieron sin máscara en hogares y lugares de culto este mes para la Pascua. La Pascua y el Ramadán, la última evidencia de que el coronavirus se ha retirado de la vista del público a medida que la pandemia termina, pero el retiro no es lo mismo que la erradicación. Los funcionarios federales de salud dicen que el COVID sigue siendo una de las principales causas de muerte en los Estados Unidos, vinculado